In the introit of today's Mass, St. Paul writes, and our choir sings, "In the name of Jesus, let every knee bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Good news, gospel news for you this cold morning in January, which of all things directs our attention down to the fires of hell. The devil is real. He exists. The modernists and the worldly deny him or sweep him out of the scene, but he's the one. He's the one who fans the flames of discord and of discontent. We don't need to be wasting our efforts to be fighting with each other when there is a God, St. Paul says, of this world. Our Lord calls him Prince of this world, and he is the one who brings about all of that enmity and strife, all of those sins which make so many live loveless with one another in any family or society. A truly sad life. It is the devil who divides. Use the weapons, the gospel weapons, that you have been given to rebuke him. It is true that God gives Satan a special power to punish those who voluntarily enter his service, but pray for such souls, pity them, because sometimes the devil does disguise himself as an angel of light. Obviously, his strength and his cunning far exceeds our own. But the better gospel news is this: we should never be discouraged or frightened. He is only strong because we feed him. What he has to say rings in our ears because we won't listen to God's voice of warning. Actually, he's very weak to everyone who submits himself to God. The little, the humble, the pure of heart, with one little sign of the cross or sweet act of humility, quite outdo this dragon of a beast, Satan. What good news is this? Although we are under attack and the devil does stir up persecution against the church, our struggle, St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, we read it each fall on the 21st Sunday after Pentecost in the epistle, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, the spirit of wickedness in high places. Who's on your enemy list today? Are there a long list for some, I suppose? Tear it up. Throw it away. You could keep it all stored in the memory bank of your BlackBerry if you could get it to work. It's just one name. That's all you need to remember. Satan. It's not her. It's not this group over there. It's not him. Who are they? Why, they're the lamb. The Lord's lambs. Somehow they've wandered off and gotten themselves disguised in wolves' clothing. They need to be brought back. They need to be fenced and freed, as the church prays at prime in her morning prayer, with God's perfect freedom. And you and I have a way to do that. How? This is the good, the better. This is the best news of this Holy Name Sunday. Look at Satan. He is forced to genuflect, to bend the knee when he hears Jesus. This name terrorizes him more than all of Al-Qaeda and Obama and Bush and all of that hatred and incompetence, terrorizes us this Sunday. And that's some terror. Look, even now, as he prepares to put the mark of the beast on the forehead of all of those who go along to get along with Antichrist and his church and his mass and his one world, still, that devil flees from one little sign of the cross. So draw the logical lesson from this. Don't disdain the weapons God gives us against the only one enemy we have left. Exorcisms are not the stuff of scary movies, the story you'd listen to in a sermon you'd otherwise sleep through. Look, exorcism, which is the gospel banishment of the devil by the power of Jesus' name, that's the story of your whole life as his follower, from your baptism till your last rites, the extreme unction, exorcism. Now, surely, when you were baptized, most of you were one of the cutest babies ever born and to be seen. But before the priest would even let you into the church, you had to stay out in that cold vestibule till he exorcised you. Get out of him, unclean spirit, the priest prayed. He breathes three times in your cute little baby face. Out, he said, insisting, accursed outcast. He himself commands thee, who walked upon the sea. And then the priest put a little grain or two of exorcised and blessed salt for wisdom into your mouth. And at that point, you probably started to cry. But the priest just went right on, never dare to violate making the sign of the cross again. This sign of the cross we put upon this child's forehead. But he does. He does dare. He does. He does violate that sign of the cross, which is why the church gives us the powerful little sacraments, the sacramentals. After the sacrament of penance to get things right with God, we banish him by the holy name of Jesus, by the sign of the cross. Make it frequently and always devoutly. Holy water, have it, use it, sprinkle it liberally. The St. Benedict medal and prayer, the palm crosses, the Epiphany blessings, the green scapular, the miraculous medal, St. Anthony's exorcism. What a long list there is. In each one so little, so short, so simple, and so easy to use. Each week, the priest before the High Mass exorcises the water and then blesses it, and then he sprinkles you with it. Shouldn't we use this powerful means to fight the foe instead of spinning our wheels to fight each other? Does this new year have to mean that all of us will be Charlie Brown again? You know, Lucy, she holds the football, and he thinks that this time he's going to be able to kick it, and at the last minute, she pulls it away again, she always does, and he falls flat on his face on the ground. Couldn't it be done differently this year? Couldn't it be remember who the true foe is? And for the big occasions of life, the Holy Father Leo XIII gave us a special exorcism, that's available in English. And you can and you should pray that for more serious disturbances. So I'm sending home with you today, the ushers are giving out after Holy Communion, this little leaflet of these short little prayers. You've seen most of them before. Take as many as you would like. We've had a lot printed up. Give them to others. Put them in different places. Learn some by heart and pray them. Last of all, there's another means which is as sweet as it is strong and which is saved by God's plan for the latter days. A good friend of mine at church told me this story about Mary, a lady that we buried from church one Christmastide. She had been, during the terrible days of the Vietnam War, an Air Force nurse, and she fell very ill, and she was in an American hospital to recover. During her year's stay, someone introduced her to the use of the Ouija board, and she couldn't be talked out of it. Sometimes you just can't talk people out of things. She was persuaded that that was Jesus, Mary, and Joseph answering her questions. Now, this was way back in the early 70s when Holy Masses, the true Mass, was very rare, and true Catholics were very devout to get to wherever a good Mass, true one, was to be found. And there was a carload of Catholics who would get together and drive all the way up to Chicago every first Saturday from Cincinnati to hear the true Mass celebrated by the saintly Father Leo McNamara. When this priest was told about the problem, he thought for a moment. And then he got out, he kept them around to be given away, a little Sacred Heart badge. Did you ever see one of these? A little Sacred Heart badge. And he blessed it, and he gave it to this man to be given to Mary. And he said, I'll tell you what, now tell her this. Tell her you met this nice old Irish priest. Is there any other kind? A nice old Irish priest who wanted her to have this little badge as a gift, and she must wear it all the time. Never take it off. Well, she did. And pretty soon, she called home, and she said, you were right, explaining that the Ouija board wouldn't answer her anymore. But then she said that one day she took the badge off, and then she asked, who's your greatest enemy? And immediately the answer was spelled out, Jesus. Jesus. So she pursued. Who else? There was a hesitation. The answer came, the woman. He wouldn't say her name because he hates Mary so much. And Mary took that Ouija board and she brought it to a priest to be burned. You see, the devil hates her name because it reminds him of his defeat. This reminds me of Father Siordia's explanation that he seems now, in these last days, to tolerate with a certain amount of equanimity the holy name of Jesus, perhaps because in our society it is more of a curse, God forgive us, than a blessing. Can you imagine the punishment that awaits those who pervert the power of that name of the Son of God? But that the name of Mary, the creature who crushed him, who stomped his serpent head down into the ground, by her humble obedience, sends him screaming. Father Siordia, I was going to tell you about the second good priest friend of ours at St. Gertrude, this loyal priest son of St. Gertrude. I mean, what he said that we should do in our present distress. Sometimes, before he has an exorcism, an important one, he has a very disturbing dream. He told me, he visited us last at the end of August, that he had a terrible dream before he got here, that St. Gertrude the Great Church was surrounded with little streams of black, brackish water, and that everyone inside was sad and confused and wandering around, and that eventually that I got up and said, no, there won't be any more masses. And that, Father said, is what the devil wants. He told me further, we've been speaking this fall, that the devil had planned out this attack for a long time, and that he was actually involved in it, and that many faithful were being hurt by just a few. And then he said, Father said, there's so much hatred that he sees, such fury, such fury. Well, what should we do? I asked him one day. Well, he tells us to do what we've always been trying to do these 30 years, that is to say, the Mass and many prayers, the use of the sacramentals, to try to practice virtue, I mean, humility and love for the poor and poor souls. God and Mary, he said. Simplicity and God and Mary and love for the poor and forgiveness. No thought of revenge. Father also told me that many in this new year would start to come back, but that not all would be sincere, but that if I prayed, God would show me how things should be handled, and in any case, that they all must be welcomed. I leave you this morning with Father Ciordia's recommendation, when all else fails. One time he was having a very hard time with an exorcism, and the thought just came to him, an inspiration. He took his stole, the sign of his priestly authority, and he put it over the head of the possessed person, and then he started to sing. Now, Father doesn't have an especially good voice, but he said it didn't matter, because you sing not with your throat or your lungs, but you sing from your soul, the Magnificat. Do you know that beautiful prayer of Our Lady at the Visitation in Luke's Gospel? My soul doth magnify the Lord. Would that work for us? I asked Father. Monseigneur, he answered me. It's the same devil everywhere. The same devil down there is up there. I'm sure it would work for you too. So we've been trying to do that every day, to sing the Magnificat in church. And then I put this on the back of this little prayer leaflet that I'm giving to you today. Say it with your spouse. Say it with your children. Say it out loud with others. And if you can sing, and even if you can't, sing it from your soul to drive the devil away. De posuit potentes de sede. He hath put down the mighty from their seat. Mary of Agreda says, this refers to the fallen angels. That's why they can't take this prayer. Because installed in their place are the humble of heart through the mediation of Most Holy Mary. Good news this Holy Name Sunday, good gospel news of St. Luke, and news for the devil. He knows it well, but he doesn't want to be reminded of it. He will not win. The holy hour, humility of heart, meekness, the Magnificat. Jesus will reign in this family and in all of our families. He will reign through Mary. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.